My ambitions and hustles got me all that I got. A drug dealer's dreams.
Yeah, some of y'all still out here dreaming, man. We done turn this shit to a reality. Know what I mean? We out there getting to it. Y'all niggas just getting in the way, man. Facts.
Shout out Hustle on the intro. What's Hustle's Instagram name?
How we hustle. Yeah. Beamer Bully Gang. Hell going on.
Facts, buy a shirt. Got a Beamer or whatever. If you want a Beamer, you ain't got one. Buy a shirt. Drug Dealer's Dreams. We here. About to lay down this episode. Not quite sure where it's going to go. But what it is, definitely is a transparent episode where we focused on figuring things out. Focused on moving forward, focused on progression.
Right, yeah. You know that? I mean, shit, it been a minute though, boy. You know, it been like a year since we done posted a bit.
Yeah. It's been a year. It's been a tumultuous year.
Yeah.
Obviously, on more levels than one. But we're here.
Facts. Man, first and foremost, bro, man, shout out G. Shout out G, man.
G Money.
Yeah, shout out G Money.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, bro. And that shit fucking crazy, bro. Bro, I never forget, right? Like, before I had got the car, when we was doing the podcast shit, y'all was all the way up there. And what the fuck y'all was at? Shambly. Up there in the warehouse. Mm-hmm. Swap meet shit. That shit look crazy, right? So that nigga, I ain't had no car at the time. So, you know, I used to haul around all the equipment.
Facts.
G came and picked me up in the Maybach, right? I'm like, this shit dope. That cool?
Yeah.
And, you know, every time he talking shit, you feel like it was a camera on. Nigga, we fucking lit. We got the Drink Champs contract.
Yeah.
I'm like, for real?
He's looking for you hard, man.
Yeah.
We couldn't find a decent cameraman. And shout out CJ. My bad. Shout out CJ. He gave us the line to you, which was a big deal because we didn't necessarily have a cameraman that was capable at the time. And yeah, man, it was a big deal when Chop came in. Just to give people a understanding of why Chop is sitting across from me. This is Chop. He's our producer, equal partner. / everything else. He's just been behind the scenes. And now that we're left in this situation, unfortunately, and we're in a situation of trying to put the pieces together and trying to figure things out, it's a limited number of people I feel comfortable sitting across from even discussing these situations. So that's why Chop is here, because he's the person I feel comfortable with. Rome is here, who you've seen multiple episodes. He's here as well. And it just, at this point, it just becomes a situation of trying to figure things out and what kind of environment are you comfortable in and just moving forward. So I just want to let people know who you are. A lot of motherfuckers seen you and say, who the fuck is this guy?
Right. Yeah, I mean, yeah. that me, nigga. that me.
All right, so yeah, so we found Chop right after we got the Drink Champs contract. We needed a reliable cameraman, somebody who could bring things to the table that we didn't even know existed yet, which was production. We didn't understand production at the time at all. We just thought somebody needed to record us. We didn't know about all the little, little details that go into making something look professional, but we were held to that standard due to our contractual obligation. So when Chop came in, he just added an element that we didn't have yet, and it made us look different. It made us sound different, and we were super hype. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, bro, for like the first two episodes, I thought, man, you were going to have a problem. I'm like, this nigga keep calling me cameraman. Why the fuck you keep calling me cameraman,
I'm not the
bro?
Only one. I'm not the only one.
I'm like, nigga, keep calling. I'm like, bro, Chop. Chop.
Yeah. But, you know, I come from a music background, so you know, engineers always get disrespected. No disrespect to engineers. But at that point, I was just still in the mode of, this is our engineer. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, that's how it is. Engineer, cameraman, that That's what they're gonna call you.
Right. So in the future, for anyone getting into the game, don't do that.
Right. I mean, if you are a cameraman or an engineer and you feel some kind of way about that shit, you know, just let somebody know in a respectful way.
Yeah. You're more.
Yeah. More. Tell me your name. Something like that.
So basically, that's how everything started. We're in the studio in Chambly. That's where the concept derived from. We just in there. It was an excuse for me and G to link and have some drinks and just talk shit and reminisce and tell stories, and that's the basis of it. And
how the Drink Champs, how that situation even happened though?
Drink Champs was just a shot in the dark. Not even a shot in the dark. It was just, I don't know. What they say, the universe.
Okay.
We put 2 episodes on SoundCloud. I had access to a studio. Let me give you some background real quick. So, in order for you to get an understanding. So, me and G's relationship goes far beyond the podcast, which anyone who listens to a podcast understands. I was thinking about this shit before we did it and thinking about my attributes and his attributes and why, you know, chemistry is a complicated thing, and I'm not a chemist, so it just comes down to like understanding specific strengths. One of G's specific strengths, man, was his like ability to just, he had a supreme confidence even when it wasn't warranted, to be honest. Like, but when you have that, it works somehow. So he could take a situation where he didn't have an advantage, but his confidence could become an advantage. And that shit can take you a long way. So we sitting in the studio that I had access to at the time. It had nothing to do with podcasts or anything. And this is when Combat Jack was out. That was the only podcast we were really privy to. And he was like, man, we could do a podcast, not even based on a topic per se, or it was just we could rap. Because that's what we always did. So I had a clothing line that I had brought him in on called 996+4. And that came from that's inspired by the old Biggie line. You need 996 grams, you need 4 more. So I brought him in on that. And we was doing things with that. It was a t-shirt line. And it just led to us hanging out, talking, building in the space of the studio. So we in the space of the studio, like, well, okay, we see a studio around us. What can we do at the studio? So we start chopping it up. Bought some privilege and just chopped it up. And it was lit. And then everybody liked it. Like, the engineer actually enjoyed it, even though he sat there for like 2 hours. This wasn't chopped at the time. And, for people who do music or anything, sound-wise, if the engineer actually likes your shit, you got something, right? Because every rapper comes out the booth and looks at the engineer and be like, what you think? And you be like, you know what I'm saying?
That but shit anyway, was cool. It was cool. Yeah,
so we knew we had something. People was laughing. People was into it. People were engaged. So we knew we had something. So then we got our first guest, which is Brandy Davis. Shout out to her. Free Pretty Girls. She was very instrumental in even getting us to believe in ourselves and what we were doing. She was brave enough to tell her whole story and her whole experience. And that just kind of catapulted us because she embodied everything that the brand stood for, which is cautionary tales. You know, everybody always asks, what does a drug dealer's dream mean? And, you know, it's just, it's an accumulation of cautionary tales based on blind ambition. That's exactly what it means. So what that means is when you want something, but you don't know exactly how to get it, so you rely on what's around you and you rely on what you do know. Sometimes you make bad choices, but that don't mean that you're not worthy of dreams. And those dreams you have are the same as anyone's dreams, because you're just as qualified as anybody, but your circumstances or your resources limit, you know, your strategies to get those dreams. So she embodied everything we was doing. We did her joint. Low-key, we did her joint how many times, Chop? Like 3 times?
Brandish it.
Yeah.
I want to
know. No, you wasn't there for the first one.
I wasn't there for...
I was in the store.
I wasn't there for no Brandy.
Oh, damn. We did Brandy like 3 times.
I was there, John Wayne. That was my first one.
Okay, so John Wayne's important too. We did Brandy like 3 times because the cameras were so fucked up. And to this day, when you go on our YouTube page, her shit got the most views, but the cameraman's wilding. And not, no disrespect to him. He was just, he didn't know what to do. He was put in a situation he didn't know. G probably told him, yo, come take some pictures. And next thing you know, we like, yo, record an episode. We didn't know what he was doing.
I was QBing.
He was middleman.
Yeah, so then I was like, yo, just me. Just call G. He kept calling me.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, just call G.
Yeah. And everybody was rushing. Life was happening. Like, so shout out to J-Bo, man. He did his best. And look, the real shit, the cool shit with J-Bo is he's ill. Those stills, certain stills he took, are still some of my favorite stills. Whatever.
Bars.
He's fire. But he just wasn't prepped for what was happening.
Right.
And we weren't either. We didn't know. You know what I'm saying? We didn't know what it took. So her first episode is probably the greatest episode we ever did, but no one will ever know it. Because a lot of it is just scrambled. And then the merch started popping way more than we thought. All right, so let me rewind. If you want this. You want this job?
Yeah.
Okay, so the clothing line is 996 plus 4 at the time. Podcast is the drug dealer's dreams. Me and G sit down, we rap. We like what we hear. We have a good time. I buy a domain called thedrugdealersdreams.com because I can't get a 996plus4.com because you can't put the plus. You can't put numbers in a plus in a domain for whatever reason. Like, you can't have all numbers, whatever, symbols. I said, fuck that. And I just said, I thought what it was based off, I said, damn, you know, I already got the Biggie line inspired by 996plus4. I'm going to go get the Nas joint, Drug Dealer's Dreams. And it also was reflective of our past. So I was like, all right. And I grabbed that. And when I told G, he was super hyped. He's like, what did you name the site? Drug Dealer's Dreams? He was so hyped. This is still when 996plus4 was the only thing we was doing. And I had this idea. So how I really, at this time, G is super up. He was always up. But at this time, I don't know, he was kind of climbing at a rate where a lot of people were coming at him with a lot of business ideas. And he would always listen to me because of our past, but that don't mean he's just going to invest in anything I say. He had people wanting to open restaurants and all type of shit. Rome, though. Like, you know, a million things, sneaker stores, all type of shit. So I show him, but I'm tuned in. Like, I know how he ticks. So I show him where 996plus4 comes from, and he's super open off that. And then I show him how I'm packaging it. And that's why anybody who got a drug dealer's dreams, ordered a package, we appreciate y'all, but that's why the box cutter that comes to break the package open, it says 996plus4 on it with drugdealersdreams.com. If you have an original, which you should probably hold on to at this point because you never know where things will go. And that's because we weren't even on to a drug dealer's dreams yet. We sitting there with a bunch of shirts package like work. We don't know what to do. We sell a few, whatever. NG comes to me one day. We start building the website, and he's like, bro, let's do some shirts that say the website instead of 996+4. I'm like, okay. He's like, let's just do some shirts that say Drug Dealer's Dreams. And then shout out to She, who pressed all our stuff up at the time. I don't know if his company's still the same. At this time, it was Anomalous Paradigm. He just put the dot there for some reason, which I always thought was super genius. Like, just put the period without the com. You know what I'm saying? I thought that was fire. And he just put a Drug Dealer's Dreams dot. And that's how it started. And then we started wearing shit around the city, and the city started fucking with it. And if you know G, you know that he was a super mover and shaker. He was everywhere at all times. And he represented the brand to the fullest. You know, he made the shirt look like $1 million wherever he went. And it was a responsibility at that point. It was like, it was just a responsibility. It was like, if you wore the shirt, you had to represent what it said. It was something you earned in life. So it gave us a niche. You know, you can't just be anybody and buy our shirt, which we weren't even realizing at the time. But that's the truth. It's like, you got to feel a type of way about yourself to even step out the crib. Me and G used to have conversations. We used to laugh with Chop and Rome, like, damn, I don't even want to wear the shirt today because I don't feel like answering no questions. Like, when I go somewhere, I go to a grocery store, I go anywhere, motherfuckers asking me, what does that mean? Rome just told me the other day he wore the shit somewhere to pick up food for the family, and like two people asked him a question. It just gets tiring, you know? So we were always feeling the responsibility to define what we were doing, because we definitely weren't on anything ignorant. But yeah, that's the backstory, man. That's how everything started. That's how everything became what it is. That's how we're sitting here today. We got to deal with Drink Champs because, rewind, we dropped the episode with Brandy Davis. We dropped the episode by ourselves, and we dropped the episode with John Bunn. I can't remember if John Bunn was before or after the deal.
It was before the deal.
Okay.
Because he had picked me up. This was after the Bun episode.
Okay, so we did the episode with Brandy Davis, then we did the episode with John Bunn. Shout out to John Bunn. He was wrongly convicted, and
he was 14, wasn't he?
Something crazy.
Yeah, 14 when he got convicted.
Something crazy. For killing an off-duty cop. And it was a bunch of shit that went into his story, a bunch of riveting shit. He didn't know how to read. He was a kid, like everything. And it just shed a light on social injustice and all type of other topics.
Man, I ain't going to count from a producer standpoint, bro.
You was lit.
No, that episode was stressful as fuck. I'm like,
why?
Damn, bro. He put so many elements into that episode that I never even thought about. This nigga talking about some. He reached sexual maturity in jail. Like,
yeah, he went through puberty in jail.
Yeah, through puberty. He was like, shit, anybody talking about they gangster for being in jail? Like, what's gangster about bending over, spreading your ass cheeks for another man? I'm like, you do have to do that when you get locked up, though. Yeah. And it
first thing you have to do.
This man, he up here about to cry and shit, and y'all got to keep pouring this motherfucker shots. I'm like, bro, this shit been going on for about 2 hours. I want to go home.
Yeah, our first episodes would be like 3 hours long.
Man, that shit was deep.
Shout out to D too. Dwayne, we did his episode twice. His first episode, I just lost, but that was way better. That was like 3, maybe 4 hours long.
The second one was at Patchwork, right?
But yeah. John Bunn, that was so crazy because me and G didn't know what the fuck we was doing either. And we used to get so many comments that G talked too much, but what people don't understand is it's not like we're fucking trained journalists. We don't know what we're doing. We're just drinking Henny and interviewing people.
But you used to say throwing shit on the wall, sandwich stick.
Yeah. So it was like, it was just an experience, man. And so we did Brandy and we did John Bunn, and we felt confident enough about those two just to put those on SoundCloud just to see what happens. And that's how we, out of the blue, we got a call from a guy named Randy.
Shout out Randy.
Yeah, shout out Randy. He's a super cool guy. Still cool to this day. As soon as quarantine over, we're going to meet at our favorite restaurant where he swears he discovered, but he knows I discovered that shit. And, you know, he's just a good dude. And somehow he caught ear in the barbershop. Not somehow. Rome, what's the name of the barber?
Chris.
Chris, yeah, Chris. Shout out, Chris. What barbershop? Shout out.
The popular joint out here.
Can you ask me? I got dreads. I don't fucking know.
It's a popular barbershop. What's the joint, man? It sounds like something else, but it's something else.
What the fuck?
No, you'll know when you hear this shit. Salam Ramsey.
Salam Ramsey.
Oh, it do Salam sound like Ramsey. Something else, but it's something else.
Something else, but something else. Right. Salam Ramsey, Chris. Yeah, he somehow, they was playing the podcast in the barbershop. Which to all you rappers, podcasters, whoever, that's kind of when you know you have something that sounds good is when people are playing it without you asking them to.
Fact.
So they was playing it and Randy heard it, and Randy was working for Drink Champs at the time. I don't know if he still does or not. But anyway, he was part of Drink Champs and he reached out to us and that's how it happened. And then next thing you know, we was getting a contract from Randy Acker, which we had only knew from Dame Dash's rant on YouTube that we used to watch all the time. But we knew we was lit kind of because, you know, he was part of Def Jam at the time or whatever. And it was a great feeling, man. It was a great feeling. I didn't believe it at first. Coming from a music background, I heard a million things that didn't come true. So when we got in touch with Randy and he told us we were going to deal with Drink Champs, me and G looked at Drink Champs like the top, like we never, like they're the best. So we looked at them like the Def Jam of podcasts, and we just thought it was a way out. We weren't in the same struggle, but we were both in the struggle. I was struggling with certain things. He was struggling with certain things. And us being able to rap with each other and kick it and chill and people wanted to hear it was a beautiful thing. So the Drink Champs opportunity felt like, it just felt like everything. It felt like a chance at a new beginning, you know, and that's what it was. Mm.
Yeah, I ain't know how that shit came about. I just know that nigga had picked me up one day.
Randy called us. I didn't believe him. He told us meet him at some weird coffee shop. Me and G was laughing like, where the fuck is this coffee shop? Randy will be laughing when he hears this, but somewhere in like East Atlanta, one of these gentrified neighborhoods. It's like,
I know exactly what you're talking about. It's like on a street, you can see.
Yeah, it's some weird name. Like, I don't know, but
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember I was just mad because I scraped my rim parking there. I was mad as fuck. Like, you know, in all the like gentrified areas, the parking's difficult. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like, damn, I gotta like parallel park. I scraped my rim.
It's like 1,500 square feet, three cars can park here.
Yeah. And so, we met him and he just kind of reassured us like, yeah, this is what's going down. We want to sign you. He said, him and Nori listened to the episode from some trip from somewhere to Rochester, New York City to Rochester. They listened to both our episodes and Nori loved it and co-signed it and they gave him the green light. And I think it was kind of Randy's project. You know what I'm saying? No disrespect to anybody. Cause in the end of the day, it didn't work out like none of us wanted it to, but that's cool. I think when we made the podcast, the podcast genre wasn't oversaturated like it is now. Cause that was already like, time flies. That was already like 3 years ago.
Right.
3-4 years ago. So damn, that shit was that long ago? Like 3-4 years ago?
It was about three.
He had the Jeep.
It was 2017. Because we was recording in 2017, but we didn't officially drop until the first of 2018 when I did the trailer.
New Year's Day. Yeah. I remember that shit. I'm beef.
Yeah. Shed so many tears. That's instrumental.
Yeah. Facts. Yeah.
You had beef.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always had beef. So, that was that. And, man, just shout out to Randy. He was so instrumental in that. Like, we got mad at him at a time. Not me even mad, just frustrated. We got frustrated with the old Drink Champs, but looking back, they was just speeding off the fact that we was dope and they were dope and they had a platform. They wanted us to put it, they wanted to put us on that platform so bad, but that platform wasn't built yet. Like the foundation wasn't all the way built. Like just now they got all these distribution deals. They got like three separate deals with Tidal, Mass Appeal, Revolt, all this shit going on. They weren't established like that at the time. So I think they just saw the potential in us, and I'm grateful for that. Like the only thing me and G got from that situation, because we ended up getting out after about a year and a half or whatever, what we got out of that was they just made us step our game up. They required visuals. We didn't have no visuals before we signed with them. We didn't have any structure. We didn't have any type of professionalism. So when we signed with them, it just made us work harder. It made us seek out Chop, and made us stick to a schedule. You know what I'm saying? Every week, every other week, whatever. It taught us about Audio Boom. It taught us about digital platforms. So anybody getting into the podcast game, you know, make sure you understand what platform you want to distribute on. Make sure you get your paperwork right. Make sure you get your business right. All those things, man.
Yeah, so speaking on that professionalism, I remember I used to goddamn send y'all niggas goddamn production notes, right? Yeah, but okay, yeah. This lit.
Yeah.
We get to shooting and shit.
We weren't ready.
I want to talk about something else.
Yeah, that was G. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? G.
I'm like, damn, fuck it.
It was a gift and a curse, because I used to try to fall in line, with the production notes and G would too, you know, we would have talks.
Yeah.
Listen, we would have talks.
G used to try to enter that privilege.
Yeah, we would have talks.
G just used to like the fact that everything was professional.
He liked the look.
Everything in life.
Right.
He liked the look. Notes. Yeah. We got this. We got
cameras. We got lights.
But fuck the notes, really, though.
Yeah.
Which he would always get there at 10:30. He's always the latest. Always the latest.
He doesn't even care.
Even though we in his crib. Yeah. But anyway, so.
You know what that shit feel like?
He just saw a letterhead and felt good.
You know what that shit felt like being in an Uber?
Oh, man.
We got down about 200 pounds worth of equipment sitting in the lobby.
Let me tell y'all, man.
I met a furry for the first time, bro. You know what a fucking furry is?
But.
You know what a furry is?
Nah, I don't even know what that is.
Bro, it's these people who dress up like animals and shit, and they do some weird shit. I met them because of y'all niggas keeping me waiting. But go ahead, continue. I'm listening.
No, that was at the spot downtown. Yep. You came. What's the shit? Every year they have it. Cop Drag Con.
No, this was a regular, like, a Wednesday.
No, but Drag Con is all week. And that spot was in DragCon Central.
Oh, so y'all DragCon set me up.
There.
Yeah, Halloween.
This nigga like he got a...
Because it was the back end. The spot was connected to that.
Right. Hotel. This nigga like he got a power up from Mario 3.
Are you talking about that was at the...
It was at Sky House.
Yeah.
The other side?
Facts.
That's DragCon.
Right in the middle.
I didn't know what it was,
it's
bro.
On the drag.
It's DragCon. On the drag.
I didn't know his pronoun.
All right.
I was pissed, but continue.
You would always be late. Always be late. Always.
I'm right down the street, bro. No, you're not.
Yeah. But the crazy thing was, the night that we got the deal, so I just let y'all in a little bit. So the reason we was even trying to do these things, because I always kept a job for the most part, and G was always good because he always knew how to stay busy, how to make money, and just our friendship alone made him reach out to me and be like, yo, let's think of something. And the podcast was something we had fun with, so that's why we did it. So fast forward to when we got the call from Randy, we didn't really necessarily believe it, or we didn't know what it entailed. We didn't know if Randy was cap or if he was for real. And he ended up with him at, I got a call back like three times in a row in the middle of the night from G, and I was asleep, and I saw like the third call or whatever, fourth call. So I answer like paranoid, like thinking something's wrong. And he's super hyped, so hyped that like I had to get out of the bed. I was in bed with my chick. You know, they be mad nosy when you have anything go on at night. It's like
past 8:30, nigga, don't get
yeah,
no call.
Yeah, so and I never knew what was gonna come out of G's mouth. He might have been like, "Yo, shorty, wanna rock with you?" I didn't know, so I had to like run to the bathroom. He's like, yeah.
Shorty, fucking with you? Where you at?
Hey, they had a super bad relationship, bro. Yeah. She wants your dick in and around her mouth. Yeah, like, yeah, chill, bro.
He's always trying to get me out the house, man. Always trying to get me out the house, man. Oh my god, he tell me anything, get me out the house. But
Shit.
So he's like, yo, it's real. I'm like, what? He's like, yo, the podcast shit is real. He's like, I just ran to Randy at Red Martini. He's
yeah.
like, Red Martini. He's like, he with some people, whatever. He's like, I bought him a bottle. They fucking with me. I'm like, okay. You know what I'm saying? He's like, yeah, we good. We lit. He's like, I know you got work tomorrow, but I just want to tell you. And he knew I was going through something at the time, career-wise. He's always been going through something that's the opposite. Whereas I've had a problem. I haven't had such a problem with careers, but I had a problem with how much they pay because I'm in education. So, you know, you don't get paid much. He's always got paid a lot, but had a problem with careers where he couldn't necessarily find his way. And it just created a balance and a respect. So no matter how much money he made, I didn't really look at him different, and he didn't ever present himself different. And no matter how much less I made than him, he respected the career path I chose, because he knows where we came from. And so he's like, he just told me, like, friend to friend, like he would treat me like way better than I would treat myself. Like, he would always big me up way more than I would big myself up. He would look at me, you know what I'm saying, in a light that sometimes it's hard to look at yourself when you're down. But he was just like, bro, you ain't got nothing to worry about. You about to make a million. That's what he told me when we got that deal. And after he bought the bottle. And I just remember going to sleep that night mad happy, like a kid on Christmas Eve, like, mm-hmm. because we'd only heard of these people. Like, we admired these people. Like, come on, man. Growing up in Syracuse, like, Inori was a legend. People like Randy Acker was like these huge, like, record execs we never heard of. Now he's in our email. And now G actually, like, touched the people that were putting the deal together, and he's buying them drinks at the bar, and he's getting actual, like, you know, verbal validation that this thing is happening. And it was just different. You know, it was different, man. We were super excited.
I want to add something to that, too.
Yeah.
I know the people who just listening to this podcast, y'all ain't going to be able to see this, but the viewers on YouTube who can see it. So these pieces of clothing on the wall, Blanc made these. This is 996 plus 4.
Facts.
Each thing is hand stitched, right?
Yeah.
By Blanc. Like, yeah. That's him.
Yeah.
So... we did a bachelor party for him September 2019. Ron was there. Ron put it together, actually. I got a 996 plus 4 shirt made from Blanc before I went. I wore it. What was that we went to? Rose Bar. I wore the Rose Bar. So when I came downstairs, all G kept talking about, like, yo, Blanc made that. Just telling different motherfuckers. Like, bro was really proud of you, like a motherfucker, bro. Like, he really fucked. Like, yo, you see what Chop got on? That's Blanc. Blanc did that. Blanc made that shit. Like, nah, bro. He was like, yeah, that, just to add on to what you said, he really, really fucked with you and what you did, yeah, bro.
Let me tell you something, right? I'm going to tell you some exclusive shit, right? When we was kids... You know how in the beginning of the podcast I talked about Jesus had this supreme confidence. Rome, you're going to trip off this. So when we was kids, we would play basketball on like the Nerf type hoops, right? I had this rim called a rag ball. That's what it says, a rag ball. I don't know why, but anyway, I had it in the basement. It was like exclusive. Because, you know, in Syracuse, you get winters. Like, your winters are months long, so you can't play outside. So we playing on the rag ball rim, and the shit was fire. It was like a super Nerf hoop because it had, like, a little spring in it. It was almost like a breakaway.
Mm.
So we watching Come Fly With Me every day, Michael Jordan. We trying to do the dunks and all that shit. We having full-blown games down there with winners and everything. I might have 15 motherfuckers in my basement. You know what I'm saying? I know I drove my mother crazy, but so me and G would be on the same team most of the time, and he was long, like his arms were long, and he had like premature hops for some reason. So he was dunking on like everybody, right? And I'm just a regular kid. I was better on the real court, like, because I had a jump shot and shit. And he just used to pull me aside and be like, yo. Because we had this competition on who could watch Come Fly With Me more. That shit is relevant because of the Michael Jordan documentary.
Right.
Anybody who really grew up in that time, you know about the Come Fly With Me VHS. Like, it was a big fucking deal. Some people had to, like, eat Wheaties to get it.
Right.
Right? So me and him got it, and we used to watch it, like, every day after school. He was like, it's supreme confidence. That's all you say, supreme confidence, supreme confidence. He like, you just got to know that you could dunk on him before you even jump. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and then when we would be dolo, when we'd be one-on-one, I knew that he could block my shot because, you know, he was taller, his arms were long or whatever. He could jump higher. But he would make me try to dunk on him over and over and over again. Just to get the confidence, no matter how many times he blocked me, and vice versa. You know what I'm saying? And it was just like, it wasn't even a Big Brother episode because we was both trying to figure it out, but it was just a super like friend episode. It was like, yo, let's be better. So next time we get around all these other motherfuckers, let's be lit. You know what I'm saying? You be better, I'll be better, and we be popping. And we just used to put that work in, and he just, you know, the older we got, he kept that mentality of like supreme confidence no matter what the circumstances was. Even at sometimes if it risked being at your own detriment, he just had supreme confidence, bro. He wasn't with no in any situation. He was not with no. Like, that was just his thing. We're going to make it work. You know what I'm saying? And that was just a powerful thing. So, yeah, man, from the basement with the ragball hoop to the driveway to the basketball hoop to him breaking. I remember he broke his clock when we used to wear clock. He wore a clock around his neck for some reason, wanted to play 21 and shit. Broke his clock around his neck. Like, that was what we was on. And he loved Mike. he loved all that shit. He loved all that shit. And, he let go of basketball at a certain point, and we just kept pushing.
Did he win the chip during one of his bids? Or he played in the chip?
I don't know, man. I don't know. He stopped hooping in high school. He didn't want to go out for the team. His jump shot was terrible. His shot was ugly as fuck. But somehow it looked like Mike. He used to make like faces like Mike. He just loved Mike, yo. He loved Mike.
Just know he went to the chip. I can't remember if he won it or lost it in the bid. He went to the chip. He used to tell me all the time, like, yo, when I come back
home, so look,
we going to the chip.
Let me ask you this, because be wrapping up soon, right?
My bad, bro.
Nah, you good. We good. So what now?
In terms of?
Of the podcast, the Joy Does Dream. How are we moving forward?
Just to be transparent, because he told me he wanted to be transparent about this episode. Me and Chop had odds about the podcast a little bit, not on a personal level, but just on a business level. We was in three parts, equal partners. Me and G made the decision to bring Chop in as an equal partner, which was a great decision because he brought so much to the table. And not only, just for people who don't understand or trying to do a podcast, like, Chop does audio, visual, editing, everything. So that's a huge deal, because without a platform, or without looking good on the platform that's provided, you ain't shit. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like
one person.
A lot of people, right? A lot of people meet, like, if you're a rapper, you're gonna like hire people to shoot your video, and then you're gonna find out that they don't edit, or you're gonna hire somebody to shoot your video and find out they don't even have a camera. Or like, Chop does everything. He does everything. So anyway, that's when me and G made the decision going into season 3. We was like, damn, we've been down for a minute. Me and him was going through a lot of shit personally, not against each other, just separately. And we was planning this crazy comeback. This was so like fucked up about the whole situation. Besides everything else, just business wise, we was gonna do the belly joint. Right.
Yeah.
We already had the intro plan. We're going to do the belly inspired intro into the flame.
Yeah. Into the flame. Into the goddamn flame. Yeah. Bro.
That just shit was going to be hard.
Probably should have been in the tea room. But it was going to
facts,
be flame.
Facts. So, the flame is just lit. It's a staple. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so we was going to do that, and we just had kind of ran out of guests. You know, shout out to all our great guests, but we was learning that a lot of more podcasts started popping up, and a lot of people could get better guests than us, because we just didn't have the reach. So we were learning that our value lied in our relationship. So we was like, yo, you know what? Next season, even if we got to do 10 episodes with just me and you, bro, we're just going to knock that shit out. We're just going to kick it. We're just going to talk real shit. And whoever stays with it, stays with it. And let it grow organically. And we had came to that conclusion. Because those were our favorite episodes anyway. Like, it's like I always bring things back to music. But it's like when you're an artist, you always kind of hate your singles. You like your album cuts better. Mm-hmm. And that's how we was. We didn't really listen to our episodes after we did them, but anything we did have to listen to give Chop timestamps and shit, we always liked our Dolo episodes. We was like, fuck it. Even if we got to do 10 Dolos, who gives a fuck?
Just think of Blanc going to be a rapper again so bad.
It's just everything relates to that. So it's like, that's just what it was. We was getting ready to do like 10 joints, just me and him. If a guest popped up there, and then that's what it was. But we understood where our value lied in the fact that there's probably no other podcast on earth where people knew each other for 30 years,
right?
You know what I'm saying? And that's where our true value lied. Like, we did good. Shout out to Raymond Santana, Brandy, John Bun, you know, all these great guests that we had, you know, Dwayne. All these great guests we had, shout out to them. They helped us get our views up. But the true value in the podcast lied with me and his chemistry. And, you know, we just can't wait to just do that and have an excuse to kick it with each other and chill. And that just got cut short, man. Unfortunately, that got cut short.
Yeah, so you pretty much are stagnant right now.
I'm super stagnant. I don't want to do the shit no more. Chop will tell you, Chop bullied me into this episode, mm-hmm. calling me out.
Mm-hmm. Shout out, Beamer Bully Gang. Yeah. How we all feel.
I don't know what to do with the shit, to be honest. To fans and to subscribers and all that shit who are looking for episodes, I'll just be honest with y'all. I don't want to do it. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not the same. I did this shit for my friend, because he wanted me to. He asked me to figure something out for him and to get him out of a certain lifestyle, and this is what I came up with. And he was the leader in it. He was the leader in getting the guests. He was the leader in the convo. That's why, you know, most people say he talks too much. And that was what it was. And now that he's not here, I don't want to do it. But I don't know, just on my own in the struggle, I don't know if it's my responsibility to do it. I don't know if it's my responsibility to let it go. I don't know if it added to the destruction in both of our lives. I don't know if it added to the benefit. I don't know. So I just sit here in a place of, no, I was passionate about it. I know he was passionate about it. I know that at times it was a blessing, at times it was a burden, but it still exists in some way. So I just kind of have to function in the best capacity that I can until I figure it out. And I know Chop's frustrated. I know certain fans are frustrated. I know Rome might be frustrated or not. You know what I'm saying? But it just is what it is, man. You know what I'm saying? Y'all got to bear with me, to be honest, because not even to be on some selfish shit, but there's certain times in life when you got to know that you come first. And I know in this situation, he would trust me. He would trust what I figure out. And you know, he would bear with me. So
I feel you on that. Frustrated, yeah. I've been there with you, still there with you, right now, right there with you, just being honest. However, like you said, though, it's a three-way split. 100%. So, you know, while you're dealing with whatever you're dealing with, I'm a take my responsibility and figure out what I can do to keep it big on.
I'm appreciative of Chop pushing me. I'm appreciative of people still showing love on the gram and, you know,
shout
everything.
Out to the ground. Don't fall
back down. Yeah. They love us, man. I appreciate all that shit, man. You know, we used to always say, me and G used to always say, we didn't have a lot of followers, but we had real followers.
Cause
we might only have 1,000 likes, but we might have 600 comments. Like, it's crazy. Like, the engagement, because if you knew, you knew. Like,
that's all that mattered, the engagement.
Yeah. So we just, you know, I apologize, I guess, to those people. Not even I guess. I apologize to those people who we helped and who I can't sustain that level of help to. My bad. It shit's broken. You know what I'm saying? Shit's broken. So it's broke not even in half. It's broke more than in half. I lost more than half of this shit. I was like 30. To be honest, like, in creation, I was like 80%. I created it, but in performance, I was 20. You know what I'm saying? It's just like once the whistle blew and the game started, I was just a supporting actor. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just trying to figure it out, man. Trying to figure out where to go with it, how to go with it. That's it.
Facts. But the dream gonna continue regardless, though. You feel me? So you wanna hit us with the outro? You know how it go.
Yeah, I don't even think I think it goes unsaid at this point. But if you tune in for gossip, tune out. And just I appreciate y'all. Anybody who watches this, man, I appreciate y'all sticking with us, man, bearing with us.
Facts.
You know, understanding real issues in life, man. Understand this way better than a podcast. And that's it.
Facts. We out there, bitch.
My ambitions and hustles got me all that I got. A drug dealer's dreams.
Yeah, some of y'all still out here dreaming, man. We're gonna turn this shit to a reality. Know what I mean? We out there getting to it. Y'all niggas just getting in the way, man.